The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
The Thanksgiving holiday can be a wonderful time for food, family, and fellowship. But are we truly thankful? We in the West have been given the blessings of freedom and prosperity. But have we been using those blessings to help others? Do we in the United States, Canada, New Zealand, and Great Britain really recognize who gave us all our benefits and blessings? Will the sin of ingratitude lead to national decay and destruction? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, are we a thankful nation? And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Thanksgiving weekend is a time when Americans are supposed to count their blessings. We in the Western world have been abundantly blessed with prosperity and freedom. As we think about the celebration of Thanksgiving weekend, many of us deeply give thanks to the Creator God for our national and individual blessings. In the United States, Thanksgiving weekend is the busiest travel weekend of the year, as scattered families and friends come together to celebrate this holiday. It's a time for rejoicing, for cheering on a favorite football team, and of course, for indulging in the traditional turkey dinner with all the trimmings. Originally, Thanksgiving was instituted as a time to express our deep gratitude to God. But do we truly recognize God as our provider? Or do we look to our own personal possessions and power for security? On the fourth Thursday of November, the United States celebrates its annual Thanksgiving Day. The tradition stems from the Pilgrims' three-day festival organized by Plymouth Governor William Bradford in 1621. Now, 280 years later, 45 million turkeys are consumed at Thanksgiving in the U.S. Some even enjoy meatless turkeys. Other families enjoyed 15,000 tofurkeys made from tofu. Other nations also celebrate Thanksgiving. Canada instituted its Thanksgiving Day as a national holiday in 1879. And since 1957, Canada celebrates its Thanksgiving Day on the second Monday in October. A couple years ago, the nation of Argentina, along with the Center for World Thanksgiving in Dallas, Texas, proposed the year 2000 as the International Year of Thanksgiving. The United Nations General Assembly unanimously declared the year 2000 as the International Year of Thanksgiving. I wonder how many nations were even aware of it. What a contrast to the world celebration of Thanksgiving in just a few decades from now, when all nations will go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, turn to Zechariah the 14th chapter in verse 4. Here we see a future world at peace under the rulership of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as he returns to Jerusalem, the future world capital. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Who will rule the earth after Jesus' return? Verse 9. And the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Yes, Christ will institute one world government. And how will he unify all the nations under his rulership? He'll begin by bringing all nations to Jerusalem to worship during the fall festival called the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus himself kept this feast, as you can read in John, the 7th chapter. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Eternal of Hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. My friends, there's coming a time when all nations will celebrate with thanksgiving and worship the King of Kings. So around the world in the year 2000, the International Year of Thanksgiving, various nations were supposed to be expressing thanksgiving. But did they truly recognize their own Creator? The Creator God is more powerful than all the nations put together. In fact, the prophet Isaiah states that all nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted by Him less than nothing and worthless. That's in Isaiah 40 and verse 17. In the year 2000, or the year 2001 for that matter, did your nation give thanks to the Creator God for its national blessings? Did you individually give thanks to God? Many people may be thankful in their own way, but do the overwhelming majority of United States, Canadian, Australian, and British citizens recognize and acknowledge the true source of their prosperity and blessings and freedoms? Do they truly thank the Creator God and Jesus Christ for their benefits? Do they understand God's guiding hand in the history of our nations? You can learn more about the history of these nations in our free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain. In just a minute, we'll give you more information for ordering this amazing booklet. Let's briefly consider the development of the North American continent. There were the pioneering settlements by the British in Jamestown, Virginia in 1607. The Dutch established what is now Albany, New York around 1614. The Pilgrims arrived in Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1620. And after a severe and disastrous winter, they gave thanks to God for their harvest in 1621. Historians refer to this as the first Thanksgiving. In exactly 70 years, from 1783 to 1853, after the 13 colonies became the United States of America, the United States acquired all the land to complete its continental territory from sea to shining sea. The greatest land expansion took place in 1803. Under President Thomas Jefferson, France sold the Louisiana Territory to the United States for only $15 million, or only 5 cents per acre. Napoleon reportedly remarked, "This accession of territory affirms forever the power of the United States." The United States continued to develop economically and militarily over the years. After the conclusion of World War II, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, speaking before the House of Commons, commented on the status of the United States. Quote, "I must turn to the United States, with whom our fortunes and interests are intertwined. The Americans have become today the greatest state and power in the world, speaking our own language, cherishing our common law, and pursuing the same ideals." End of quote. Is there a biblical and historical reason for this power? What really is the source of these national blessings? The answer begins with the story of the patriarch Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham, and it was because of Abraham's faith we are blessed. Again, you can read about that amazing story in our free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain. God tested Abraham and told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham in faith obeyed, and God preserved Isaac's life. What did God say to Abraham as a result? Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and verse 16. God said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Eternal, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Abraham's descendants were to control the gates of their enemies. In the 20th century, America and Britain actually controlled most of the world's sea gates. However, because of our national sins, God has begun to take that control away. Douglas Winnale wrote about that trend in his Tomorrow's World magazine article, Sea Gates in Peril. Dr. Winnale stated, quote, "The loss of sea gates around the world is a warning sign that God's judgment is about to begin, and that we should be watching carefully as these significant events unfold." Are God's promises to the patriarchs related to the United States and Britain? God renewed his covenant with Abraham's son Isaac, and then later with Isaac's son Jacob. Remember, as we've described on previous programs, that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. The man Israel had 12 sons, including Judah and Joseph. Joseph had 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob, or Israel, blessed his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, by laying his hands on their heads and praying. Genesis 48 and verse 16. The man Israel prayed, "The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name," that is the name Israel, "be named upon them," Ephraim and Manasseh, "and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." The birthright promises, which included wealth, abundance, military power, and international dominance, were to be fulfilled in the descendants of Joseph. It may be surprising to many of you, but those divine blessings have been fulfilled in America and Britain. You can trace the history of Joseph's descendants in our free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain? Do you know where their roots are mentioned in the Bible? One of the greatest principles to understanding Bible prophecy is to know where in the Bible such nations as the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa are mentioned. Most theologians and preachers are way off base in their prophetic framework because they lack that knowledge. Our free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain, gives you that vital information. This booklet will give you the historic and biblical proof of the prophecies relating to these countries. Major prophetic events are going to occur soon. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we asked the question, where do our national blessings, prosperity, and abundance come from? Well, let's compare our own national and regional blessings with this divine promise in Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. For the Eternal your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Perhaps your own personal travels have given you an opportunity to appreciate the mountains, the plains, the forests, the rivers, the lakes, and oceans. My wife and I have enjoyed the national parks of Yosemite, Yellowstone, the Grand Canyon, and Waterton Lakes, both in the United States and Canada. We've enjoyed visiting Lake Louise and Banff. We've had the opportunity of swimming in the Atlantic and in the Pacific. God's creation uplifts the soul and spirit. Our national heritage includes fertile agricultural soil and rich mineral deposits and industrial development. But have we recognized and honored the source of those blessings? Consider God's warning, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Eternal your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Have we in our Western Christian professing world heeded that warning? National sins produce national penalties. President Abraham Lincoln recognized this, as we'll see later in the program. During the bloody Civil War, United States President Lincoln proclaimed a national fast day for April 30th, 1863. He stated, "I do, by this proclamation, designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. President Lincoln acknowledged that God in heaven is the true source of blessings, nationally and individually. Do you thank Almighty God for all the benefits we so often take for granted? Notice what the Apostle James wrote in James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Again, have we, as the nations blessed by God, forgotten the source of all our abundance, our prosperity and freedom? Have we forgotten God? Have we neglected our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ? Will we continue to be thankful to our Creator God and continue to be prospered? Or will the sin of ingratitude and rebellion lead to national decay and disaster? We need to ask the question, to whom do we give thanks? To Almighty God and Jesus Christ? Or do we worship the dollar, the pound, the franc, the peso, the yen, or the Deutschmark? U.S. coins and currency declare, in God we trust. If our nation fails to live up to that motto, it will not prevail. But you and I must exemplify that motto and that biblical precept in our own lives. The Apostle Paul prophesied about the carnal characteristics of our age. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. The Western world has a reputation for materialism. Consumer spending drives the economy. God wants us to enjoy those things that encourage spiritual and moral growth. But He does not want us to place our highest value on material goods. Listen to this comment from renowned Canadian architect Arthur Charles Erickson about our culture and civilization. Quote, North American civilization is one of the ugliest to have emerged in human history, and it has engulfed the world. Asphalt and exhaust fumes clog the villages. This great, though disastrous, culture can only change as we begin to stand off and see. The inveterate materialism, which has become the model for cultures around the world. End of quote. Along with materialism and a love of money, the Apostle Paul warns us against more carnal characteristics. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Vanity, pride, and ingratitude are sins that will destroy any culture or civilization. God warns us against trusting in our prosperity and possessions. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 17. If we say, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth, God responds, verse 18, you shall remember the Eternal your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. He warns us in verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Eternal your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Eternal destroys before you, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Eternal your God. That's a very sobering warning about the future of any country that's been blessed by God. During this time of Thanksgiving, we give thanks to God for the beauty and abundance with which He's blessed our countries. But at the same time, we should be deeply concerned as our national character becomes more and more blemished with immorality. Tomorrow's world will continue to warn our Western nations of the need to reform and to repent. Listen to this admonition from Dr. Meredith in one of his Tomorrow's World magazine personals entitled, The Way of Life. Quote, America and Canada will not continue to exist as we have known them unless there is a genuine reformation, a national repentance, and a return to the way of God. But each of us individually may be blessed and protected during the traumatic times ahead if we are willing to fight, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. What will actually happen to the United States and Great Britain? The answer is, unless we repent nationally and individually, we will continue our moral decline into devastation and destruction. God Almighty, who judges the conduct and character of nations, will bring upon us a great tribulation. We've described those prophecies in previous programs. Bible prophecy is history written in advance. Can you really know the future of the United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and other Western nations? Yes, you can. To help you in your study of Bible prophecy, I'd like to offer you this amazing free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain? This booklet will show you the biblical origins of the United States and Britain. You'll see from the Bible and history why God has blessed much of the Western world with prosperity and why He'll take it away. You need to know the future of your country. This information is vital. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In spite of our abundance and prosperity in the Western world, we find many things to complain about. The antidote for complaining is thanksgiving. What are you thankful for during this time of Thanksgiving? Our list could be unending if we really thought about it. Many of us are thankful to be living in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Great Britain. Many of us are thankful for the prosperity and abundance God gave our nations. We're thankful for our freedom to worship, our freedom to seek opportunities for fulfilling our human potential. We're thankful for family, friends, a job, for sunshine and fresh air, for food and drink. But for Christians, the greatest benefits are spiritual. We thank God for the sacrifice of His Son to pay for our sins. We're thankful for God's forgiveness and grace. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's in Matthew 6 and verse 12. We're thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit after repentance and baptism. Acts 2 verse 38. We're thankful not only for the sacrifice of Christ, but that He is alive as our High Priest, our Savior, and our Intercessor. He ever lives to make intercession for us, as it tells us in Hebrews 7, verse 25. We're thankful that Jesus Christ is alive. Notice this amazing truth in Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He's our living Savior and our great High Priest, as the book of Hebrews emphasizes. And He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're also thankful for the promised future that the world won't end in a nuclear holocaust, because Jesus Christ will return just in time to prevent it, for the elect's sake, as it tells us in Matthew 24, verse 22. We're thankful for God's great promises, as it tells us in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. We're thankful for the true gospel, the same gospel Jesus preached about the coming kingdom of God on earth, when all nations will learn the way to peace. The world needs the kingdom of God on earth. Do you realize how much you're blessed compared to many countries around the world? In 1971, the United Nations defined 21 of the world's poorest countries with weak economies as least developed countries, or LDCs. The United Nations reported, quote, "By 1999, that number had grown to 48. These countries have a combined population of approximately 570 million people, who comprise roughly 10% of the world's total population, but who earn only 0.1% of its income. The average per capita income of people in LDCs, the least developed countries, in 1993 was $300, as compared to $906 in the developing countries as a whole, and $21,598 in the industrialized world. Can you imagine 48 countries with fellow human beings earning an average of only $300 per year? How thankful are you? As Jesus said, "To whom much is given, from him much will be required." That's in Luke 12, verse 48. We must be faithful stewards of our blessings, and we must be willing to give to others. We particularly need to be giving the good news of the gospel to the rest of the world. During this Thanksgiving weekend, we need to counter the trend of an ungrateful nation. Any nation that practices the sin of ingratitude and refuses to submit to its Creator is sowing the seeds of its own destruction. During the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln spoke about our neglectful and ungrateful attitude. In his March 30, 1863 proclamation, appointing a national fast day, Lincoln also gave this warning. It certainly applies to our current day lifestyle and attitudes. Quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God." End of quote. We are living in the prophesied times of ingratitude. The Apostle Paul warned about those who are unholy and unthankful. He instructs us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." May we, you and I, be filled with thanksgiving for the love of God and Jesus Christ. May we seek to love, obey, and serve the source of all our personal and national blessings. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Dr. Meredith and I will continue to share with you the exciting revelations of the Bible and where our world is headed. You need to watch world trends in light of Bible prophecy. Be sure to call or write for the free booklets and tapes we offer on this program. And be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The program is produced by the Living Church of God.